Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 220 of Nerd Pride Radio. 220, the number of Podomatic entries that Roster sent in again this week. I mean, geez, Ron, I get it. Your dedication's appreciated, but can you back off? I mean, no, I'm just kidding. He didn't really send me another 220. That would be excessive, even for Ronster. No. TO220 is a style of electronic component packaging commonly used for discrete semiconductors as transistors and silicon-controlled rectifiers, as well as integrated circuits. The TO designation stands for transistor outline. Thanks, Wikipedia. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How are you doing?
I'm awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd plus. There's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride Radio smells exactly like Carol Ann's scent on your clothing after she passes through your soul.
Aww.
I know. Isn't that sweet? And kind of depressing?
Yeah.
Okay. Before we do anything else, updates! First off on updates, they played Godball without me, because, you know, I was busy seeing Black Panther.
Because they're way more dedicated to this game than you are.
Yeah, clearly that's my problem. So, we had the game was scheduled to do a playtest, but then I had a chance to go see Black Panther with my family, and so I decided to go see Black Panther with my family, and it turns out it was one of the best games of Godball ever. We finally have gotten the rules to a point where, they actually scored some points. Like, there were two whole goals scored in this game, and I missed out. So, yeah, I'm never doing things with my family again. Stupid family. That's terrible.
Yo, we don't want you here either, so...
I know. It balances. All right. But then the other thing I have is an update to my Flat Earth discussion that Ronster decided to poke fun at me and did some Flat Earth talk on the boards. And so I decided to play along and argue on the boards as if I believed in that the Earth was flat and tried to be as convincing as I could about presenting the flat earth arguments. And I think I'm doing pretty well at it. And to my delight, Flameblade, who does not listen to the podcast, Flameblade came on to argue with me because Flame is a man of science and this would be something that would be very interesting for him. And then as the discussion goes on, it occurs to me that, oh wait, Flame doesn't listen to the podcast. He might not know I'm kidding. I mean, I've known Flame for 20 years, so I'm hoping that by this point he understands that I'm just being facetious, but I don't know for sure, and there's no possible way for me to check. So he hasn't argued with me for a couple of days on the Flat Earth stuff, so I'm assuming he's just gotten bored with it. But, you know, if it comes back, I'll keep going. I'm having a good time with it. It's kind of fun. So that's it on updates. Next is feedback.
Ah, what the heck? The worst part about this bit is he plays the noise in real life.
Yeah, no other noises do I actually play in real life, but that one I know gets to him. So, I did get some feedback from Iantha after last week's episode, and her response was, bed, wed, or behead. She would bed Sturm Brightblade. She would wed Raceland. She would marry that lying evil weasel and stay with him for life. And then she would kill Tasselhoff, which, okay, that's fine. I'm fine with killing off the Kender, but you would marry Raistlin? Oh,
I would marry Raistlin, too.
God, I thought he was... You haven't even read the books.
No.
I didn't know who they were until I explained
it to you. No, but he sounds like the kind of guy who I could rule the world with.
Oh, you're terrible. And then, number two, Petra Chumber, she says, is actually from Petra Kor, so it should be pronounced Petra Cumber. Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. I apologize, Dave. Here's the thing, is... What, you're not going to call me out on this? Get people... This is what the whole Mike was wrong is all about, is you gotta call me out. I mispronounced, dude. I ruined your bit. Well, I didn't ruin it, but I didn't make it as good as it could have been. So Petra Cumber. Then number three, she says, cool thing I think you'd like to know, the images and data from the failed Malaysian plane search have been made public. And a second data set is also going to be released. It's cool because we haven't actually mapped the ocean floor all that much. And this is a huge section of it in huge detail, and it is really amazing. And she provides a link, which I should provide to you, but I won't because I'll just make you guys Google search it because I'm lazy. But yeah, that's really impressive stuff. I mean, man, I mean, sorry that, you know, it has to come out of such a tragedy, but the idea that we've got this much new data is really cool. So thank you, Antha. I appreciate the feedback. Now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week, or in this case, it'll be whatever's been on Aiden's mind for more than half of it, because I've gotten sick again, and my voice is starting to go, and I'm coughing.
Whoa, okay,
so,
hold on. Can I just clarify that this hasn't been a week for me? I have a massive list of things I need to talk about.
Right. I would hate to imply that he might have this many thoughts in a whole week, because That is just silly.
No, I was saying that it is several weeks, so expect more of this.
But in general, if something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and the best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. I don't know how he records his stuff, but he'll do some spewing of his own here today, so we're good.
It's on my blog.
There you go. First up, science fiction double feature. Science fiction double feature. That's right. Here at Nerd Pride Radio, you get not one, but two movie reviews for the same low, low price.
Absolutely right. Free.
Though, yes, that's implied. You don't have to explain it, Noah. Jeez.
Hey, I started that.
Okay.
Don't you credit Noah with that.
So, the two movies that I saw this week are one, I saw A Futile and Stupid Gesture, which is a movie about the life of Doug Kenny, who was the one of the co-founders of the National Lampoon magazine, as well as one of the co-creators of the movies Animal House and Caddyshack.
Oh.
So, yeah, comedy genius. Slacker and... general fuck up, but you'll get that from the movie. And the movie is surprisingly entertaining. It's done very tongue in cheek, and you get a lot of familiar names and faces. I mean, this is the whole crew that did Animal House. Most of them were instrumental in the beginning of Saturday Night Live, and it's very it was just very interesting. Kenny is not a terribly likable character, so. Odd that they make him the core of the movie, but, you know, he was central to all of this. It is interesting. It was very interesting, and I was engaged all the way to the end. It was fun to see Joel McHale playing the role of Chevy Chase throughout the movie, knowing his work with Chevy Chase on Community, and knowing that they didn't always get along, and then interesting to see him playing that role here. And he... did a really good job of it. So he's got the Chevy thing down pretty well. So anyway, A Futile and Stupid Gesture, it's a Netflix original. It is on Netflix right now. And it was really entertaining. If you are interested in the behind-the-scenes comedy stuff, this is not a documentary. It is not an accurate portrayal of everything that happened. In fact, at one point of the movie, they stop the action to say, yeah, I know it didn't really happen like that, but look, if you want a complete list, here's the complete list of everything we changed for the film. And it's huge, and I would love to have slowed it down and read all of that, but it was really big. So it was fun. It was fun, and like I say, if you're interested in behind-the-scenes showbiz stuff, behind-the-scenes comedy stuff, this was fun. I enjoyed it. So, but the other movie that we saw this week...
It was Black Panther.
And the reason I didn't play Godball is that we went to see Black Panther.
Black Panther, Dad.
Okay. Oh, did you enjoy Black Panther?
I love Black Panther.
Very nice. Hold on. I have to cough. And we're back! So anyway, how'd you feel about Black Panther?
It was so good.
It was.
It was probably my top Marvel movie as of yet.
See, now
with Guardians of the Galaxy 2 a close second.
I have a problem with Marvel movies in that every time I see a Marvel movie...
They keep getting better?
Each one is always my favorite movie when I walk out of the theater. Like, I adored Ant-Man. And then, in retrospect... Ant-Man's kind of mediocre, I mean, compared to the other Marvel movies. I mean, it was a good story, but it was also, it wasn't terribly original, and man, there was a lot of things that they could have done better, and Jesus, why didn't Wasp have a real role in that movie, which thank God they're fixing that with the new Ant-Man and Wasp movie coming up.
Yeah.
But my point is that hindsight always gives me a perspective on Marvel movies that, oh, yeah, maybe not as great as I thought at the time. Doctor Strange. I love Doctor Strange. I really do.
Wait, but you didn't like it in hindsight?
No, in hindsight, it was not... it was a great movie, all right? I really enjoyed it, but in hindsight, it undermined itself with comedy. I saw an article that explained some of this, and so the idea that there were places where you have a big dramatic moment where he's actually having an epiphany... And
like the scene in the hospital when he's an actual wizard.
Right, and then they all of a sudden, they throw in a bit of comedy. Or like, he's having this grand moment where he's finally coming into his own and he's having this this realization about himself and his power. And instead of just settling into that moment, he has to have a fight with his cloak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's played for slapstick comedy. And so there were parts of Doctor Strange that I wish they could have... they could have been more sincere about it, but doesn't change the fact I enjoyed it. But it wasn't the greatest movie of all time, as I thought the moment I walked out of the theater.
Though, I will say that their choice of Boop-a-Doop Shoop-de-Whoop was very good to play Doctor Strange.
No, yeah. No, look, I love Cumberbatch. He's good.
Who?
Benedict Cumberbatch, he played Sherlock?
No, I don't know that name at all.
Yeah, okay, you're funny.
You could come up with one of the hundreds of combinations.
He played Smaug.
Was that really Benedict Cumberbatch who played Smaug?
Yeah, it was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Really?
Yes, which was interesting because the role of Bilbo Baggins was played by Martin Freeman, who was also in Black Panther as the token white guy. And Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman, in addition to being Bilbo and Smaug, were also Sherlock Holmes and Watson in the British TV show.
What I thought you were going to do is, and which is weird because Bilbo Baggins is also Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's cute. And by the way, I only overpronounce it as Smaug because I think that's funny. The actual correct pronunciation is Smaug, and I am very... Aww. Yeah, I'm very aware that it is Smaug, and all correct, right-thinking people understand that it's Smaug.
Well, I mean...
But I like to say Smaug because I think it's funny.
Who has seen the pronunciation in the movie, where is the only official pronunciation in existence.
No. In the movie, it's pronounced as Smaug because that's the British accent. In American English, you pronounce it Smaug.
No.
Really? So you're going to tell me that American English isn't real English? You're racist?
Yes, I will tell you that is some bastardization of a language.
No, how dare you? How dare you?
We have roots in every language in existence. We're not even our own thing at this point.
Right, which makes us superior.
Because we're thieves?
Oh, American English is awesome.
And also very difficult to learn.
So, anyway, Black Panther. So, I really enjoyed Black Panther, and I am hesitant to say how much I enjoyed it because I'm waiting for the hindsight effect to kick in, but because it always seems to. But I really enjoyed Black Panther. I really enjoyed, I think there were a couple of sections where it was a little slow, a couple of sections where it was a little predictable.
Can we put a spoiler warning right about here?
Not yet.
Well, because I just want to say the name of the big bad guy.
Oh, all right, we'll get to that in just a second. I just want to say that the acting in this was rock solid. I thought, what's his name who played Black Panther, T'Challa? I can't remember the guy's name. I think he was really good. I think Lupita Nyong'o is amazing. I mean, she's just a phenomenal actress. And Michael B. Jordan tore it up.
Oh, my God.
Tore it up in this film.
Can I do it now? Can I say it now?
Okay, so now, spoiler warning. Go ahead.
Oh, Killmonger's so good.
Yeah, this is the spoiler, is that, look, skip ahead 35 seconds if you don't want to hear it, but Michael B. Jordan plays the big bad guy. He plays Killmonger, and he is amazing. Absolutely amazing. He was rock solid.
So incredible.
So, all right, now, having said all that.
Didn't Killmonger used to be white in the comics?
I have no idea. I don't pay attention.
I'm a Google Killmonger.
Okay. And I would just like to say that I think their vision of Afrofuturism is phenomenal. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Afrofuturism, the concept of taking a futuristic landscape, but imagining it as a futuristic landscape that has developed out of distinctly African culture and sensibilities and style, and thus you get a future world that has obvious African roots, and it's just, it's gorgeous in this movie, and it's really well done. And the concept here is, you know, imagine that you've got a city with more money per capita than the entire world, more resources per capita than anyone else in the entire world, and you wind up with, and in the real world, a city like that, you wind up with something like Dubai, where it is an Arab city that is building itself up to be the most expensive, excessive modern city in the world. Or you wind up with something like Tokyo, where Tokyo is your usual vision of a neo-futurist sort of city. But to see Wakanda do it is just amazing. Mm-hmm. And it like I say, really well done. And
the sand tables?
Yeah. Oh God, there's so much good stuff in it. It just, and not just futuristic technology, but futuristic technology imagined in such a way that when you see there, what passes for holograms and video phones, their version of it, the technology is completely different from anything else that we've seen before. It's like imagined as a different source of the actual technology and movement of it, and it's really cool. And on top of that, the idea of, and this is again me speaking as a middle-aged white guy, but the idea of representation, because I had to have a discussion with Eli and Noah before we watched the movie, the importance of representation in this movie, the idea that you know, for people who are black, who have never seen a black superhero lead a movie like this, the amount of female representation in this movie was amazing. That it wasn't just that Black Panther was in it as a black dude, but all of these really powerful black women around him. I mean, that was all the other heroes were strong black women. It was amazing. Really well done. And the reason we had to have a discussion about representation in media in the first place is, well, one, that's a discussion that I should have had with them ages ago, but we live in a town that does not have a whole lot of black people in it. I mean, we have
almost
some.
Zero.
Yeah, we have some, but not a lot. And this was a packed theater, and in the row right in front of us was a couple who came in who looked to be maybe, you know, 30s or 40s.
Oh, no, they were younger. It was late 20s, early 30s.
You think so?
Yeah.
Anyway, they came in, and they sat right in front of us, and they were both wearing dashiki-style shirts. Not actual dashikis, but the shirts were styled in that pattern and clearly reminiscent of that. And one of the boys had asked about, because I said something about, oh, how cool. And they were asking what was cool about it. I'm like, oh, because for them, this this is potentially, and again, I don't want to put myself in their head and speak for them, but potentially a huge moment of coming to see a movie all about black heroes and about black culture and
equal rights kind of pride.
And for them wanting to show up and represent by wearing their shirts, awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a really cool thing. So it was a really good experience. We had a really good time. And I, for one, am a huge fan of Black Panther. And also, look, the trailers for Infinity War, one of my favorite moments in the trailer for Infinity War is watching the Black Panther and the Wakandan Warriors bust out in the Infinity War trailer. So I can't wait to see them again in the upcoming film.
Oh, my God. So good.
Only have to wait till this summer. It's coming. So, yeah, like you say, was there some slow pieces and some a little too predictable pieces? Yeah, probably so. But it, yeah, now that was funny. I like the sneakers. So, but overall, great film. Highly recommend it. I have MoviePass now, so I could go see it every day this week if I felt like it.
Do it.
I know, well, except that I'm sick today, but other than that, I could. And now for a brand new segment, or, well, we've kind of done this before, but this is making it its own segment now with its own name. This is a segment we call, Geez, Netflix has a lot of crappy horror movies.
And boy, do they ever. So this is what I was talking about with my few weeks of stuff. I have a list of, like, 15 crappy horror movies that I'd like to review, and I'm going to segment them week per week and add to the list. And so this week we have four of them, and we're going to start off with Pay the Ghost, a mild kind of mystery horror movie starring our Lord and Savior Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage! Who knew Nick Cage was in a cheap horror movie like this? I was actually very excited to see that.
I enjoyed Pay the Ghost, and, like, it's a bad movie. Like, real bad. Well, I mean, not, like, Hillary's America bad, but...
Nothing is Hillary's America bad.
Well, except for Hillary's America.
No way.
Anyway. But if you go to watch Pay the Ghost with the mindset that it is in fact just a Nicolas Cage performance, you're gonna love the crap out of it. I loved the crap out of Pay the Ghost just for the crazy, insane ball of energy that is old Nicolas Cage.
So, what you're saying is it's not actually a crappy movie, it's actually a good movie because you greatly enjoyed it.
Don't do this. Don't do this on the podcast.
All right, we'll save the debate for another time.
And then, second, I'm checking my other notes, it's right in front of me. The Void. The Void was surprisingly good.
Oh, I don't have any idea what this one's about.
It is, spoilers. Oh, I should probably give a rundown of Pay the Ghost, huh?
Okay, you can give a quick rundown. Sure, give us the two sentences.
Nicolas Cage brings his son to a Halloween street festival, and the son gets kidnapped by a ghost, so Nicolas Cage has to go to the spirit world and save him.
Hmm. Okay, like Insidious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except Nicolas Cage.
So better.
Right.
Okay.
next up we have...
The Void.
The Void, right. This movie was fairly slow. It's pretty cheesy. It's about a police officer finding a meth head on the road, bringing him to a hospital, and it turns out that this meth head isn't just a meth head. And shit goes south.
Oh, sweet! Okay, see, that already sounds exciting.
I would recommend The Void, though it's super cheesy and mostly predictable up until the end. I'll give it a 4 out of 10.
Okay, but you really enjoyed watching it.
I enjoyed it about 6 out of 10.
Okay, so good movie. A recommend.
Right, I would recommend it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. And again, this is all, as the title of the segment implies, all available on Netflix.
And also, very crappy. Keep that in mind. So don't go expecting some kind of masterpiece. Just keep in mind that I'm watching these to watch crappy horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is the cult classic Zombies.
Okay, I saw enough of Zombies to know this film's amazing.
imagine a zombie apocalypse, except it doesn't affect humans, only animals, and it starts in a zoo. There is an entire scene where they're in a jeep driving through this, like, forest enclosure being chased by zombie giraffes.
Okay. It is... I mean, was the entire zoo encased in a dome?
I don't know, but there was... They had to stop, like, it from getting to the aviary because, like, if
right,
the birds escaped, then it
right,
would...
because then the birds would get out. But then there was, like, parrots. Wasn't there parrots slamming themselves against the glass towards the
right,
end?
Right, that was the aviary.
Oh, my God, it was terrifying. Ugh, what a horrible film.
Oh, okay. But it's such a fun watch.
But we had a... I only saw about the last 20, 25 minutes of it. I walked in, I'm like, what the hell are you watching? And he's like, Zombies, sit down, you gotta see this. And so I didn't need to know
it. Was so good.
I didn't need all the preamble. I didn't need all the build-up. I just watched the final 20, 25 minutes of climax to this movie, and it was glorious.
All right. And now I'm not happy anymore. Because it's Bleed. Bleed is a bad movie.
So bad it's good?
No.
Oh.
Bleed is about a family moving into a new house. And turns out that there's an abandoned prison where satanic rituals used to happen just up the hill.
Ugh, alright, that sounds lazy, but...
They go there, and turns out that satanic rituals are still going on and they all die.
Aww. So you're saying you would rather watch Hillary's America than see Bleed again?
There is nothing that could ever make me watch Hillary's America again.
Okay, so Bleed, better than Hillary's America. There
don't,
you go.
Don't you try to give this movie a good mark.
I'm just saying.
I would not recommend anyone watch Bleed.
If you had to say something positive about it, you could say it's better than Hillary's America.
I don't ever want to or want to have to say something good about Bleed. Like, I cannot stress enough, this movie is a complete waste of time.
Oh, so sad. Hey, but the other three.
The other three? I would recommend very highly.
All right. Very cool. See? There you go. And that was, geez, Netflix has a lot of crappy horror movies.
Let me rephrase. Would recommend very highly if you enjoy crappy horror movies.
Right. Obviously.
Good. Okay.
All right. Next up, Pod People.
Pod People. Pod People. Pod People.
Thanks, Noah.
All right. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and every now and then I need to change them up a little bit. So I haven't actually deleted... any podcasts out of my list, but for some reason I felt myself in need of some new ones. And so I... Tragedy! Holy crap. Okay. Just moments ago, well, no, it's been about 20 minutes now, somebody stepped on the power cord and accidentally disconnected it from the box, and the battery on my laptop is such that once it's unplugged, it's got about 4 minutes and no warning before it just shuts off.
Yeah, Bear is really irresponsible.
So, the cat is in all sorts of trouble now. But fortunately, we were able to reboot and it was able to do a recovery and it looks like we have our project back and it looks like we didn't lose a whole lot. So, back where we were, look, I added some new podcasts to my repertoire. And one of them is the Intelligence Squared US podcast. It is a debate-style podcast where they pick a topic, and they bring on two experts who are for it and two who are against it, and then they have an old-fashioned style debate, and then at different points during the show, the audience votes on how they feel about the topic. And whoever can, it's not whoever has the most votes, but whoever can change the most minds during the course of the podcast wins the debate for the day. And they have a bunch of them. Should college athletes be paid? That's the one that I'm listening.
Absolutely.
That's the one I'm listening to right now. Well, I haven't. I'm leaving an open mind for it.
If not as athletes, as entertainers.
Right.
Because, like, March Madness pulls in.
Right. Oh, millions.
Millions.
Yeah, if not, yeah, hundreds
if not
of
billions.
Right. And so.
Then you can't just shill out a tiny bit for the people who make you all that money?
Right.
It sounds like it's illegal.
Right. It sounds like slavery, doesn't it? It sounds like someone's getting ripped off. So that's the one I'm listening to now. The last one, the only one that I've actually listened to all the way through is, Universal Basic Income. Is Universal Basic Income I can't remember how they phrased it, but basically, is it the wave of the future? Is this how we're going to be handling stuff, from now on?
And it is not.
And here's the thing, is that I've always found Universal Basic Income appealing, and through the course of this podcast, I was convinced that, yeah, you know what? As much as there are aspects of Universal Basic Income that I find really appealing and still do, that it's not sufficient. You can't just, I think the part that's so appealing about it, it appeals to this libertarian sensibility of, hey, look, we'll just give everybody money, and then there, once you've got your money, no more complaining. But we gave you cash.
Isn't that communism?
And that irrelevant. And so, and instead it turns out that, oh yeah, but if you think about it, no, the nations that I admire who are doing things like with their prison systems or with their drug reforms or with, you know, other things, they don't just throw money at people and say, there, here's your money, now go solve your problems. No, they have actual detailed support systems and programs to actually help people. And the things that have worked best in the U.S. are also programs that help, help support people and guide them and educate them and give them a different way of doing things. And so while, I do think the way we hand out benefits nowadays is crap, and, you know, we certainly need some reform in it. Just giving people money and calling it good is not the end-all be-all of all this. And so, I found it enlightening and fascinating, and so I'm trying to listen to them with an open mind because I did not expect to have my mind changed so dramatically on universal basic income. I just didn't expect it to happen because I'm so used to not being swayed by most arguments anymore, and this was nice.
Because your cold, dead heart won't let anyone sway you.
No, it's because I'm close-minded.
Oh.
Yes. Close-minded and bigoted. That's me. So.
That's me.
So, and I helped. So, no, I'm kidding. That's shake and bake. So,
super sexist.
I need to listen to more of these. And again, listen to them with an open mind. And so I highly recommend the Intelligence Squared US debate podcast, because it's interesting. They come out with about an episode a month. And there, as I'm looking through their back catalog, there are a ton of them that I find interesting. I've downloaded like three or four that seemed most appealing to me. But man, they got a lot of stuff. So worth listening to. There you go. All right, now I'm going to pause this because I just realized I've lost all of my notes. I have to go open those back up. I was so excited to find out that the podcast wasn't destroyed that I didn't even get my notes open. So hold on. And we're back!
Shut up! No! Shush! And now it's time to open up with yet another 80s movie that my dad swears used to be awesome.
It was awesome in the 80s, but not anymore. It was awesome in the 80s, but not today.
Yes, this is awesome in the 80s. My dad, who is old, picks out a movie from the 80s that he loved back when he was a kid. Then we watch it together, and I tell him why he's wrong. Dad? This week's movie, what is it?
It was Poltergeist.
It's Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, which, as you guys have heard the story,
of crappy horror movies,
Aiden picked out from the Walmart $5 bin by going shoulder deep and just pulling out whatever he could from the bottom of the bin, and then you buy it and you watch it. And he turned out to pick Poltergeist, and we figured that would make a great, awesome in the 80s movie. And so we're doing it now. We saw it just today, just a little bit ago, and look. Poltergeist in the 80s, this thing was amazing. It was written by Steven Spielberg. It starts off as what seems like an upbeat family movie, and then it turns to horror, and then it's just weird and freaky, and it was a creepy, creepy film. Creepy, with the little girl trapped in the TV, and the voices, and the sound effects, and it was just, I remember loving this film, loving it, back in 1983 when I first saw it. So, but then, you know, we saw it today, so
it was super cheesy.
But super cheesy.
But then again, this is one of those movies that invented that cheese.
It really did. Look, there is so much of this movie that I'm watching it with Aiden and with Elijah, and they're like, oh yeah, no, I know where this comes from. Oh yeah, no, I saw this on a Family Guy episode. Oh, that's where that line came from?
Oh yeah, that American Dad thing.
Yeah, so Poltergeist is so ingrained in the American consciousness that people have no, I mean, the idea of ancient Indian burial ground, the, oh my God, you didn't move the bodies! This whole thing is such a trope, and it's been redone so many different times. And even, you know, look, as we were just discussing too today, Pay the Ghost and Insidious, and a lot of them have this kind of, you know, rescuing your child from the evil supernatural forces that borrow a lot from Poltergeist. It has been redone to death. So, look, me personally, my opinion of it was, I did not enjoy it. Just didn't enjoy it at all. Because I knew it. I knew everything that was going to happen, and there's a lot of slow pieces in it that the whole point is it's setting it up as a family movie, and it's getting you to care about the characters.
Those parts were for the suspense.
I understand that.
They're integral to making it an enjoyable flick.
I know it is, and yet, I think if I was watching it cold, or as cold as you can with Poltergeist nowadays, I think I would have enjoyed it more. But knowing what was coming, like not just knowing the plot and knowing what was coming, but knowing the exact scenes. I've seen this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm waiting for the guy to spit out the fried chicken with the maggots in it and
the
peel
face
space
pulling
up. Yeah.
Scene, yeah.
Yeah, I was waiting for those pieces.
Propane.
Knowing how terrible those things are. The effects were bad, people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that the peeling his face off was so obviously fake. The every time you would see the ghosts or spirits or whatever moving around, it's like these little cartoon ghost tendrils coming out from around the door.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was like really like we're watching Eddie Murphy's Haunted House movie.
Oh my God, terrible. That is such a good comparison.
Oh, it was bad. But you give your opinion because you liked it better than I did.
I enjoyed it. I thought seeing it, knowing it's a classic and knowing that it's from the 80s, I was prepared for it and I enjoyed it. Now, by today's standards, is it a good movie? No, not by any means.
No. You couldn't re-release this movie. You couldn't put this in theaters now and expect people to turn out for it because it just does not hold up. Mm-hmm. You can't, it doesn't do well.
Yeah. See, and the thing is for me that, like, I like to take myself out of a situation and watch it as a different person. I was watching that movie as someone who is seeing this, knowing it's a classic, knowing that it's from the 80s, knowing that it's gonna be cheesy. And I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
As someone from the 80s might. But as a person from now 2018, it's like, alright, yeah, you can scoot along, movie, we know.
Alright, hey. Who'd you recognize from this film? Oh, come on, Craig T. Nelson? The dad? Craig T. Nelson, he was on Coach? Yeah, you've never seen anything that Craig T. Nelson's been in.
Okay.
The mom, Jo Beth Williams? She was in, she was the mistress in Kramer vs. Kramer. Yeah, I think that was before this movie, even. So,
isn't that the one about the lawsuit and the kid?
Yeah, the custody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you at least know what Kramer versus Kramer is. That's amazing.
Is it?
Holy crap. Yeah, I thought that was going to be unbelievably obscure. Let's see. Okay. The really short old woman who came in as the mystic medium at the end of the movie to help them out.
Oh, she was the pianist in 16 Candles.
You only know that because I just told you that.
Yeah.
God darn it. While we were watching, I'm like, oh, no, you do know her. I was like, finally, it was one person in the movie. I'm like, I have a reference that I know he's seen. She was the organist from 16 Candles at the wedding.
I've never seen 16 Candles.
He's never seen 16 Candles.
We got it to the list.
Yeah, we really... If you've never seen 16 Candles, we have to add it to the list. Oh, I mean, I don't want to say rapey, because I don't want to spoil anything.
No, no, I know it is. But just from the Family Guy bit where...
Okay, but 16 Candles is a good one. And I loved that movie back in the 80s. I mean, adored.
You like Top Gun, too, and that one was pretty rapey.
That was mildly rapey.
Real Genius, that one was pretty rapey.
No, it wasn't. We agreed that Real Genius was not as rapey as we thought it was going to be.
Not as rapey, but still kind of rapey.
Yeah. I mean, look, it ranked slightly below Adventures in Babysitting.
Animal House, though we didn't review it for Awesome in the 80s, really rapey.
Right. Look, on a scale of 1 to Revenge of the Nerds, Animal House is right up there around, you know, a 7 or 8.
You know what? I've never seen Revenge of the Nerds. But what I hear from Revenge of the Nerds, it deserves to be the 10 on that
list.
It
is. In that movie, the heroes are the rapists. It is just terrible.
Oh, boy.
Hey,
do we have, a next on the list yet?
Nope.
All right, well.
We don't. Although, I would like to watch Valley Girl and Revenge of the Nerds. Those would be the ones I would like to watch next.
I know which one I'd vote for.
Which one?
Valley Girl.
Well, sure, because it's got Nick Cage in it.
Does it?
Oh, God, did I spoil it?
Does it have Nick Cage in it?
Yeah, it does.
Ah!
Okay, so, let's see. Stuff in this movie you can't get away with today.
Speaking the effects.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was terrible.
You can't get away with, there was something specific.
The contractors.
Yep, that.
The contractors working on their pool, who are
catcalling the 16-year-old daughter
right in front of the mom,
who goes brushes it off and leaves the room.
Right. They're out there catcalling a 16-year-old girl in front of her own house. These aren't just random people. Like, they're contracted to work on this family's house, and they're catcalling the 16-year-old daughter who very happily flips them off, and the mom, watching the entire thing from the kitchen window, laughs, and, oh, my strong girl can stand up for herself. Oh, you rapists.
And then one of them leans into the kitchen from a window, starts drinking the mom's coffee, and eating the chili that is on the stove.
Like, almost as egregious as the catcalling. You just lean in and just grab food?
Speaking of grabbing food.
The face peeler guy.
Oh my God.
The face peeler guy.
He went to someone else's house, grabbed a steak that was defrosting in the fridge, grabbed a frying pan
to cook it. Because he's a guest in their house. So, oh look, someone's thawing a steak. I'll fry that up as a midnight snack. Who does that?
Was that awesome in the 80s? Cooking other people's food in the middle of the night?
Didn't even notice it in the 80s. I was only 13, so, you know, what do I know?
How is that not something you would notice, though?
I didn't notice. But who the hell just grabs other people's food and just starts, I can see going into the kitchen and maybe stealing some chips or something like that, but you just grabbed a whole steak. And it wasn't like a cheap steak. Like, this thing was like a good inch thick steak.
Oh my God. It was the expensive shit.
And it's just terrible. Terrifying. So, you certainly couldn't do that nowadays. So does it hold up? I think we already answered that.
Whoa. We still have to give it the rating.
Okay.
And upon further review, in hindsight, as you said, I'd give it a 35.
Yeah, see,
35%.
There was some stuff in it that was worth watching. I mean, the kids were entertained. They watched all the way through. I was kind of cringing and feeling bad that I had subjected them to this, but they were okay with it.
For me, a lot of the other movies don't hold up because of the themes. Like, Top Gun held up pretty well because there's not much that dates it and all that. But for this movie...
Except for all the swaggering patriotic machismo...
Don't ever say machismo again.
Okay.
Anyway, but for this movie, it's just the acting, the technology, the mannerisms, the way that they look at things, it is just so 80s it hurts.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. So, and then the question, how would you remake it today?
Well, I mean, it's already been remade.
They've already remade it. And we were just looking on Netflix. There's also, not only did they remake Poltergeist, but they've also got American Poltergeist and
Which
American Poltergeist 2.
American Poltergeist, the story of Lizzie Borden.
Right. They've brought Lizzie Borden in as the Poltergeist, and they're ripping off the old Poltergeist so much that you get to see a shot in the still picture. It's Lizzie Borden with her hands on the TV, looking back over her shoulder as if she gets to be Carol Ann saying, "They're here." So, geez. So I've never seen any more Poltergeist other than the original, but I can't imagine.
Macaroni and a whole bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's it. And now it's time
for the Pod-O-Matic!
Hot dog, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. He rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, they come from Ronster. No, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something, you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever monster wants it to be.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to throw it off. I know you always kick in there at that part. Whatever you want it to be. All right, there we go. Oh, and the first number is 20. Oh, no, 02. I can't. I'm reading backwards.
God, you're the one correcting me on this, and I'm correcting you!
It's from Ronster.
Surprise, surprise.
Who's your new best friend? Oh, you are, Ron! My best friend in the world!
Aw. 64. 64, the number of bytes that the Nintendo 64 had.
Oh my god, did you just come up with that off the top of your head?
I did.
You are so creative.
Learned it from you.
You're a genius.
This one's from Talvin.
Talvin says, "You would do anything for love, but you won't do that." What is that?
Watching Hillary's America.
He won't cheat on her, that's what he won't do.
91.
91. Which I don't understand why he thinks that he's supposed to be cheating on her for love. I don't even understand how those two tie together. I think it's a little silly.
What if it's a kid that he'll do anything for love, but he won't eat Brussels sprouts? That's just gross.
91 is from Kyle. Kyle says, "Thought about LASIK? Oh, yeah, but it's not worth it for me.
Thought about it? Yes. Have I thought about getting it? No."
Yeah, it's, look, Lisa got it, and it was wonderful. It was life-changing for her because Lisa could not function without her glasses. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, she got LASIK done, and now
her eyes are failing anyway.
Yeah, she can function without her glasses. She, in fact, had a good decade where she didn't need any glasses at all. And then, you know, just like anyone, as you get older, your eyes start to get weaker. And so now she has glasses, but she doesn't need them all the time. She certainly needs them for reading, but she can function without them. If she has to go swimming, if she has to go out and she doesn't want to take her glasses with her, she doesn't have to. And that is freeing. That is not mm-hmm. something she could ever do before. So, for me, I'm fine without my glasses. I can't read, but, you know, I can drive. I can get around. I can snowboard if I know how to snowboard.
And see, for me, it's that a lot of my fashion choices over the year, the clothes that I wear on a daily basis, kind of center around my face looking the way it does. So the glasses are kind of integral to
that's,
a lot of what I wear.
That's the face you're choosing to be central to your fashion? That is amazing.
74.
74 comes from...
I know your eyes have troubles reading these teeny tiny numbers.
Yes.
I'll do it for you.
Okay, it's from Noah.
Really?
And Noah says, "Let's say you gained a lot of money and now own a huge piece of land where the Missouri River is in your front yard. You let people..."
Seems kind of like an inconvenient place to put your piece of the Missouri River.
"You let people use the land and eventually a town forms. What do you name it?" Hmm.
Hmm.
All right, he says he'd call his Wetfoot, which is actually a really good name because it comes straight out of a Pathfinder game that we played a while back when they burned down the town of Wetfoot.
They were asking for it.
What would you name your town? All right. Here's, I'm not sure what I would name it yet, but here's...
Jade?
Here's the concept.
That's what you always named your Animal Crossing villages.
I did. I named them all Dade. It was just Dad with an E on it because I'm super creative like that. but here's the theme. I've built my giant house, and now I have a huge stretch of the Missouri River running through my front yard. But here's the magic is, my house is here. I have not moved to the Missouri River. I have merely cut a portion of it off. And I have teleporter gates at either end of it, so that that water now flows through my front yard and then teleports back out to where it came from. And so I now have a section of the Missouri River just in my front yard. Like, it's like 150 feet long. That's it. All right. But all the traffic on the Missouri River flows through my front yard.
Okay, I got what I'm going to call mine.
Okay, what is it?
I'm going to call mine... tractor corn.
Tractor corn. As stereotypical Nebraskan as you can get.
It's the top two stereotypes on Nebraskan stereotypes. Right.
You know what? All right, if we want to go Nebraskan, I want it to be...
Oh, hold on. We also apparently worship Runza.
We can call it...
I might name it Runza.
We can call it Bug Eater.
Ooh.
Yeah.
After the Nebraska Bug Eaters.
The Nebraska Bug Eaters. Because
which used to be... Which are what are now the Corn Huskers.
Right. Because we thought Bug Eaters sounded way too weird. So we called ourselves the Corn Huskers.
I could also name it Cornfield, so that the people who actually think we're all cornfields can actually go to Cornfield, Nebraska.
Oh, that would be... Oh, man. What? All right, yeah, no, there's a whole bunch of those.
Wow,
that we could use.
I'm six down on the list, and three of them have been about corn.
All right. 23.
Oh, now I'm 8 deep, and two of them have been about the Huskers.
Nice.
In a row.
23 is from Mrs. Darks.
We love food, especially beef.
I am having a problem here, because you're pulling up a lot of my favorite numbers. 91, 23. I think the dice are trying...
my favorite number, too.
Yeah, the dice are trying to tell me something.
That's from Mrs. Darks.
And she says, when will we get us some more Dr. Noah?
Once Noah decides to be interesting again.
Oh, man, I don't... Probably never, because I'm an asshole. I'm a lazy, lazy asshole. That's all there is to it.
Ooh.
So
number 10, Kool-Aid is the drink of our people.
It really is.
Yeah,
Kool-Aid is invented right here in Nebraska. Don't you forget it.
I've never heard this one, but apparently people think Nebraskans are tree huggers.
We don't have any trees. That's impossible.
See, that's the point.
I don't get how it works. Number 11 is from Kaz.
Do you have...
This is
going to
be the end of it.
Do you have a favorite writing instrument, or are you a closet, closest is best kind of guy?
Yeah, see how hard it is to read with your old eyes when it's sitting that far away? So,
see, for me, it's, I don't write, I type like, you know, a normal millennial.
Ah, I do have favorite writing instruments. I have a couple of fine point pens on my desk that they just have a good ink flow to them. That I really like. It's not about them being fine point. It's just that the ink flows really well. I just feel smooth when I write with them. And they both came out of the same pack because it's the same model of blue weird pen. I don't know what they're called. I don't know what model they are. I wouldn't know how to buy them again if I even bought them in the first place. I probably picked them up from somewhere. Who knows? But in general, whatever's closest. I mean, honestly, whatever's closest. And, you know, if it's a pencil, as long as it's sharp, I don't care. Although, yeah, I like mechanical pencils. I'm doing a lot
of
math.
So what? You'd write with a knife?
Yes, as long as it's sharp. Yes. I would write with a knife.
Oh, ooh, ooh.
And then, what?
12. Nebraskans talk to strangers a lot.
Because we're friendly.
Followed immediately by 13 with, along with that, they are the nicest, friendliest people you could ever meet.
That's true. We absolutely are. Okay.
Oh, good. 14. Corn is everywhere.
Yes. That's it. No more Potomatics. It's time for GLaDOS to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Science Fiction Double Feature by Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and then write me a nice review or write me a crappy review as long as it's got 5 stars. 5 stars makes a real difference. But if you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. Seriously, you're enjoying it. You obviously enjoy it. That's why you keep coming back every week. So spread the word. Find another nerd friend. Let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth. It's my bread and butter, people.
Ooh. Another one? Cinnamon rolls and chili are the greatest combination in existence. Yeah. Number 15 on the list.
Well, it is a combo offered by Runza.
I think that's just bread and butter on top of the Nebraska kind of cake we're building here. Because in elementary school, like, at least once every 2 weeks, the lunch menu would have chili and cinnamon rolls as required items.
That's pretty cool. So, I don't see what's wrong with chili and cinnamon rolls together. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Where did I leave off? Ah, here we go. Bread and butter people. There you go. Remember, I always need you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me, come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun.
Ooh, number 16. Nebraska, the whole state, smells like cows.
Which is true.
Yeah.
And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I'll go out to my forums and I go out to Facebook and I post up, hey guys, I am recording. Anything you post up, I will read off at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. And I will start off here with, let's go with Facebook this time. Facebook starts off with Nelly. And Nelly says, have you seen Black Panther yet? It was amazing. Yes.
Yes, it absolutely was. We just talked about it.
Black Panther was amazing. You are absolutely correct. I really loved that movie. I had a great time with it, and I cannot wait to see more Black Panther in Marvel movies.
Speaking of going to the movies, 17 on the list is that apparently Nebraska has great customer service.
That has nothing to do with going to the movies.
Yeah, it
other than the great customer service I can get at the movie theater now that you no longer work there. Yeah, I know. Painful. The next is from David Laws, who says, if every human being had perfect empathy, would we avoid mistreating each other to avoid causing all of us pain? Or would we have already wiped ourselves out for the peace and quiet? Ooh. No, look, perfect empathy, assuming that you could feel the emotions of others, it would be enforcing the notion of treating others as yourself, to treat others as you would like to be treated, because if you cause other people to suffer, then you're going to suffer yourself. So the idea is everybody would work for the betterment of all so that we come up with an aggregate, hopefully net positive, of emotions for the world. But, man, I don't know how all that would work out, but it would be interesting to see, wouldn't it? All right. Then he continues with a second post that says, can you remember any of the Transformers movie plots? Because I can't. I mean,
yeah, I can remember all of them, actually.
Did they even really happen?
Yeah, no, here's the thing. So the first one is that the world is in danger and that cars can transform into robots. And with the help of insert hero name here, they need to go save the Earth. Now, for the rest of them, just Control-C, Control-V the plot.
Well, okay, but you didn't say anything about Energon cubes.
Right, because that's just the magical MacGuffin that's in every movie.
But what about when Optimus Prime dies?
He didn't.
He did?
No, he didn't.
Optimus Prime died.
No, he didn't.
He did.
I have seen the latest Transformers movie. He did not die.
I didn't say he stayed dead.
No, he never died. He just went off into space to go look for fucking Omicron Persei 8 or whatever
really?
The planet is called.
Really? Can you actually give me the actual plot of the first Transformers movie?
Yes! They had to stop the Decepticons!
Okay, and how was Shia LaBeouf going to do that?
Why that wouldn't have to be Shia LaBeouf, though.
Well, wasn't he the one in the first movie?
Yeah.
Him and, what was the name of the girl? Alright, did Optimus Prime die? The best known example is from the Transformers the movie in which Optimus Prime dies. That was the cartoon version.
Yes.
Famously, his body turns gray as he dies. The many deaths of Optimus Prime. Let's see. No. Transformers the movie, Season 3, Generation 1 Marvel Comics, Generation 2 Marvel Comics, Headmasters, Japanese, Beast Era, Armada Cartoon, Live Action Film Continuity. Here we go. No.
Transformers the Game, Titan Magazines, Revenge of...
Ooh, Revenge of the Fallen. Probably the most brutal death for Prime so far in Revenge of the Fallen. There, he did die in one of the movies. Ha! I win. All right. See? So you haven't seen all of them.
He's like Goku. He just keeps coming back.
And then that is the end of...
Whoa,
betrayal on Facebook. I still have some
18.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Number 18. Apparently, we all know someone who works in a call center.
Okay. I do, but...
I do, too.
In fact, I was just at a call center this week providing computer support.
Yeah, so. My friend Tiffany, so...
All right. Actually,
hold on, number 19 is, have I mentioned corn yet?
All right, so, listener betrayal over on my website, where I posted up and said... here we go. I said, it's on! Aiden and I are here, ask us anything. Also, name a movie that you enjoy that you think most other people did not. Kyle says, I legitimately enjoyed Suicide Squad.
Same.
Suicide Squad.
What are we, some kind of Suicide Squad?
I acknowledge its flaws, I acknowledge its disjointed story, but for some reason, I still had a great time the three times
Absolutely.
I've seen it. It's not a great movie, but it's not as god-awful as everyone says. No, I think Jeff Hollis is the only person that hates it. All right-thinking people love
critics it. Critics hate it.
No. They're idiots. Every one of them. I thought Suicide Squad was awesome.
Did you know?
And yes, absolutely flawed and broken. Yes, the plot made no sense in a lot of places, but I had so much fun watching it. So
the sequel's coming out, so...
Kyle then says, on the flip side, I did not enjoy Rogue One as much as everyone else did. It was fine.
Same.
It suffered from almost all the same problems as Suicide Squad. Terrible re-edits, disjointed story, incoherence of plot, terrible character development. But people will forgive a Star Wars movie for any sin. Again, I thought the movie was fine.
Well, every sin except Jar Jar.
Not quite as enjoyable as Suicide Squad because of the characters, but generally just good. I'm irritated by everyone talking about how effing amazing it is. Gross.
Mm-hmm.
It is not gross. So, question for both
gross.
Of you. What movie have you not liked, and you don't understand why everyone else universally loves it?
Oh, hey, we just talked about this.
To which he says, Moulin Rouge. I loved Moulin Rouge. What is wrong with you?
Oh, no. But,
all right.
Moulin Rouge is
oh, what bad. What did we just talk about? You'll have to remember.
Les Mis.
Les Mis.
I did not like Les Mis. I thought it was well shot. I thought the cinematography was brilliant. I thought the songs were amazing. I just... didn't like the movie.
Uh-huh. Look, for me...
I know this is going to make me sound like a snob asshole, but the play rendition is far better.
We were also just talking about this one today, Sixth Sense. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stand it. Did not enjoy Sixth Sense at all. But everyone else loved it. And look, and I am a Shyamalan defender. I, except for The Happening, I can defend a lot of his later movies. And I really appreciate what he does as a director, and I think that that The Sixth Sense locked him into this whole oh, he's the director with a twist thing, when that's not what his movies are about a lot of the times. Sometimes it is, but it doesn't have to be. And I don't know. Anyway, I just didn't like Sixth Sense. So then next,
real quick, number 20, we love our state so much we had to name some companies after it, forwards and backwards. With a provided picture of the Axar Bend Bridge.
Yeah. I like... nothing wrong with that. But yes, that is what we do. All right. Next it says, question for Aiden.
Also from Kyle.
Understanding that I've seen most horror movies.
Physically impossible, but continue.
What's a hidden gem that you recommend? Something that most people haven't heard of. Give me a couple suggestions, because I might have seen them.
I will be talking about this one next week, but Residue. It's on Netflix, and it's very mind-warpy. It's
okay, now, I'll be Kyle for a minute. I've already seen Residue. What else you got?
I know you and I have both seen The Last Shift, because we both told Mike to watch it. Blood Glacier. I know you've probably already seen Blood Glacier.
I saw Blood Glacier. I liked that one.
Yeah, Blood Glacier's good.
Okay, Residue for sure.
Yes.
He says whatever you're suggesting. If he hasn't seen it already, he says he will watch it and then let you know what he thinks.
Don't watch XX.
Okay. All right, well.
I can tell you what not to watch.
So Residue, and if you haven't seen Blood Glacier, Blood Glacier, but then also Residue. So there you go. And then done. We are all wrapped up.
No, we are not. I still have five more.
Jeez. All right. Well, then you know what? You did not pace yourself very well.
I know, right? I was hoping to have more listener betrayal. 21. Our obsession with Dorothy Lynch dressing is socially acceptable.
Okay. I don't even understand. I don't even understand why that's even on the list. Of course it's... Do you... Who doesn't love Dorothy Lynch? Is it... Dorothy Lynch is the single greatest salad dressing ever invented by mankind. I don't... Does not everyone think that?
Ooh, 22. The weather is unbearable. Also, yes, Dorothy Lynch is absolutely fantastic.
Right, okay.
But yes, our weather is unbearable.
That's... Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everyone is either from Lincoln, Omaha, or a small town.
What other choices do you have?
Right. Because Lincoln and Omaha are the only cities we have.
Right. Other than that, it's... I mean,
small town.
Yeah, I mean, literally, we live in a town of almost 30,000 people, and we still have cows marching up and down Main Street every day. So,
yeah.
Clearly, it's either Lincoln, Omaha, or Podunk. You don't have any choices.
Podunk.
Yeah, that's the name of my city on the Missouri.
My God, yes!
Podunk, Nebraska. Okay.
There's nothing to do in Nebraska.
That is not true. There's not much to do in Nebraska sometimes. But there are things to do.
And 25?
Yeah.
Straight up corn.
Corn! I wouldn't have thought of corn.
All right. It was on this list. It was half the things on this list.
Well, that is what Nebraska is known for. So, you guys are awesome. I appreciate you showing up. Say good night, Aiden.
You had to go through every of your son's names before you got
my name. No, it was mostly just Eli. I almost said Eli. But say good night, Aiden.
Good night.
Say good night, R2. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.